It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to our program. We're excited you've joined us on this Friday session, and I'm joined here with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are excited to bring these broadcasts to you each and every week as we discuss issues pertaining to the Christian faith, life, doctrine, practice. Today, we thought we would take up the great subject again of our Christian gospel, and I don't know, Wes, if there's a more important subject today. I think we could do a program on this every single week, because the Apostle Paul said very clearly, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And so not only do we have this great calling to preach the gospel, but also to understand what the gospel is. For if we get that wrong, everything else we do in Christian ministry is built on a wrong and false premise.
Well, that's right, Chris. I think it's very important for us to understand that there are many ways to get the gospel wrong. And that's been the story right from the very beginning. I mean, if we look in Scripture, if we look at Galatians 1, verse 8, we find the Apostle Paul saying, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." And in the previous verse, in verse 7, he speaks about those who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And the plain fact of the matter is there were people who wanted to pervert the gospel of Christ in the days of the apostles, and there are still perversions of the gospel today.
And that's what we talk about when we're talking about gospel. The basic definition of gospel's good news. It's God's good news to sinners about the way of reconciliation that has been made through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, how would you get that wrong? Well, essentially, if you were to boil it down in very simple terms, Wes, there's really sort of two ladders we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There's the ladder that we set and try to climb up to God, and then there's the ladder that he sets down to us and sends his son down to us. The point is, we're contrasting two kinds of righteousness. You have the human righteousness and you have God's righteousness. And the question is, how do we obtain and how do we stand before a holy God? How are we able to do that? If gospel's good news, then that means we have to completely take our feet completely off the ladder.
Well, you know, Chris, I think what you're saying is exactly right. Every perversion of the gospel of Christ is basically some form of what we call Pelagianism. Now, Pelagius was a British monk who lived in the days of Augustine. Great Saint Augustine, one of the church fathers, lived during the 4th century. Now, Pelagius, his position was that man is not conceived and born in sin, that man has innate abilities to be able to be righteous before God, that man is able to earn his salvation from God, that man is able to contribute almost everything to his salvation. So there was Pelagianism, the followers of Pelagius. It was defeated in the days of Augustine. Augustine argued against Pelagius in favor of the sovereign grace of God and man's salvation. And that viewpoint was victorious in the days of Augustine. But soon afterwards, another form of Pelagianism arose, which is probably the most popular today, which is called semi-Pelagianism, in which basically God does his part and man does his part. There's a cooperative effort for man's salvation. And that's the kind of Pelagianism that's around today.
Right, and so it really doesn't matter whether one calls himself whatever. They could be a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, whatever. Every single system boils down to this. You're either trying to obtain and merit heaven by your own works and your own ways, or you have bowed and lived by faith in the God who justifies through the blood of his son. Nothing we do, we receive a righteousness that is wholly outside of us. And that's the key crucial difference with the true Christian gospel, is that the Christian is told to look outside of himself to a righteousness that God provides for you over there, mm-hmm. completely apart from you. Mm-hmm. And that's the most difficult thing for us to get. But that's good news, because essentially what is being declared is that God has done for the sinner what he could not do for himself.
Yeah, exactly. And we see that teaching perverted also today in much of contemporary Christianity. And I think one of the most awful forms of that is when you hear things like, the gospel is that Jesus forgives all your sins, and now you get to try again. Jesus has taken away all of your wrongdoings, and now you get what some people have called a do-over. It's like in golf, where you get a mulligan. You screw up on a shot, and you get to try again, right? Sometimes if you're in a golf tournament, you can buy mulligans. You can buy do-overs. And one popular Christian preacher has actually said that that's what the gospel is, that Jesus has paid all for all your sins, and now you get a mulligan. You get a do-over. Folks, that's not good news. That's not the gospel. That's a message that says, you know, you get to try again, you get to try harder. It's by human effort. And that flies in the face of what we find in Romans 5, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And here it is, for by as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Trusting in Christ, we also trust in not only his satisfaction that he made on the cross, but also in his perfect life of righteousness, his law keeping, the fact that he kept the law for us. He did what we could not do for ourselves. So the end result is not that you get a clean slate and you get to try over again. In fact, you get a slate from God that is filled with the righteousness of Christ.
Look, this is so important that we understand this. What Wes just cited, and of course I cite Romans 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, we have a hard time getting that, but essentially what he just declared there is that there's no condemnation for those in Christ. You're no longer under the law for condemnation. Why? Because Christ is the end. He fulfilled that law for his people. Now, what that means then in terms of present day and what we're interacting with and why we're so concerned, I think of a popular Bible teacher I heard not too long ago say, you know, I was in all this legalism for all these years, and finally I realized what set me free. I just have to love one another.
Right.
We just have to love one another. And I thought, love's the fulfillment of the law. So
as if that's easier.
Yeah, as if that's easier. That's it's not that now law becomes law light for the Christian. We've heard a lot of Michael Horton and them talk about this. Look, you're set free. So in terms of doing anything for to be right before a holy God, Christ has fulfilled that. But we make Christianity a list of do's and don'ts. And that's what we're concerned with. That is not what Christianity is. Christianity is about the message of what Christ has accomplished, and flowing from that is response of gratitude and seeking to please him by wanting to obey his commandments.
Exactly. And it's like we say, it's so important to get that right. And it's so important for you, listeners, to be in a church where that message is being proclaimed, where you are hearing Christ proclaimed as the Savior of sinners, as the one who has done everything for us, not only having paid for our sins on the cross, but also having lived the perfect life for us, that his righteousness is imputed to us, given to us, credited to our account, and that we exalt Christ in that respect.
So what then do we think about one of the popular mottos, Wes, that is thrown out there today of a very popular Christian leader? Christianity is about deeds and not creeds. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is that it brings the attention again back to men, and it takes the gospel for granted. As if what's in the creeds, we don't need that so much anymore. That was for, you know, a past period in our lives, or a past period in the history of our church, or whatever it may be. That assumes the gospel. And any church which assumes the gospel, any believer who assumes the gospel, will soon lose it.
Well, and not only that, think about that. If we really dissect that statement, Christianity is not about creeds. Okay, so it's not about what you believe.
Yeah.
It's only about what you do.
Right.
You see, and we're so good. We're so good at, again, okay, assuming Christ has come down the ladder for us. We're so good at, again, putting the ladder back and saying, no, but you know, I got to do this for God. And there, again, we have start to set up a whole new system of human achievement, a human righteousness. And we have the most difficult time resting in Christ, trusting in Christ.
Exactly.
For the fact that he has fulfilled it all and that he is my delight and satisfaction.
And it's kind of interesting if you think about it. The creeds, you know, what we believe, includes the deeds.
Yes.
We are saved by works. It's true. We are saved by works, but they're not our works.
Yeah, whose works?
They are the works of Christ. They are the righteous deeds of Christ. We are saved by that. And I think we need to focus on that. But, you know, there are other perversions of the gospel that are out there as well.
Can I pause?
Well.
I want to say one thing.
Sure.
You know, Wes, I find, as a minister of the gospel, when people start understanding this, and understanding they come to church to be nourished and fed with the preaching of Christ, and not a list of 10 steps to this and 10 steps to that, I see the most life-transforming power of the Spirit work in people's lives, that people start craving to hear Christ preach. That's how it should be.
Exactly, yeah. Let's talk about one more perversion here before we get to the end of our program for today, and that would be the health and wealth gospel.
Health and what?
The health and wealth gospel.
Well, you know, I think this is a very interesting time where, as Wes, these things are pulled away from us and we're facing economic uncertainty, that message is just crumbling.
Yeah, it has no credibility.
It has no credibility.
Yeah. I mean, we see it all around us that, you know, if you start preaching that, you know, you just turn to God and you believe in him, everything's going to go wonderful for you. Well, things are not going so wonderful anymore.
Yeah, forget Paul said, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom.
Right.
Suffering goes hand in hand with following the captain of our suffering,
yeah.
You know, who endured the cross for us, sat down.
We've often contrasted on this program theology of glory versus a theology of the cross,
right?
The Bible presents us with a theology of the cross, not a theology of glory that's all about earthly blessings and wonderful things that are going to happen to you here in this life.
This is not hair-splitting stuff today. You know, we say these things because we believe in full conviction of heart that this is the central issue that must be preserved in the church, the preaching of Christ and him crucified. And when that is properly protected, you're going to see a lot of other things fall into place the way they should.
Yeah.
So absolutely. May we all then long to find a church where Christ is preached, his name is glorified, and the minister there longs to impart to you this good news, the good news of Jesus Christ to the hearer, so that we may all be built up and given firm foundation through his precious blood.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.